So the topic is, what's different about IT professionals? You know, we talked last time about subcultures and cultural context. Well, did you ever think of IT people as a subculture? Well, that's what Cynthia's career has been about. Master's and PhD and wisdom. So I introduce you to Cynthia, who will, for certain circumstances now, is not going to be physically. There's no AI thing there. Cynthia really is there. And I'm going to let you take it. Feel free to ask questions. Put it in the chat. I will monitor that. And Cynthia, you are on and most welcome.
Okay. I'm trying to get the share entire screen.
In her IT world, I just learned they use Microsoft, not Zoom. So. If you need any help, we or Tal can provide it.
Oh no. I'm still trying. I don't know, Ken.
Hey, tell me, did you open the presentation or on your PC?
Yeah, it's open.
Great. Now you need to press on the feature, share, on the green one below the screen. On the below part. Then you need to choose the presentation that you want
to
present.
Yeah, I know, but the screen keeps... There we go.
You could send the presentation to one of us. Oh, it looks like you got
Yay.
It.
Great.
Awesome.
And Cynthia, you need to open now?
Yes.
You need to we see all the... Oh, great. This is great.
Okay, so I'm going to hopefully give you an understanding about what it's like to work with IT professionals and what drives them. But, you know, I'd like to start by having you think about positions or functions in organizations that you would or wouldn't take. You know, for example, if you ever worked in IT, is this an area you'd be interested in, or is something that you, like a lot of people, might run from? So I'm just wondering if anybody here has actually worked with IT. And please just feel free to jump in or ask questions or whatever, whenever.
Yeah. I work a lot with IT. I'm coaching through platforms, so most of them are coming from the IT.
Good.
And it's very interesting for me, right? With the soft skills, and it's very interesting to see how does it go.
So, you know, again, another thing, why is it important for any of you to understand IT professionals? Or maybe it isn't. Maybe you just really want to come to the meeting. So I'm wondering, is there any reason that you're particularly interested in this? Anybody?
Well, I'm interested in variations of how people think, behave, feel, and the more I can learn about people. And this is a subgroup I've never given specific attention to, so I'm curious what I might learn that differentiates and also is the same as the way I see the world.
Yeah. So first of all, I've been sick all weekend and I was hoping to polish this up a bit over the weekend, but obviously I didn't get a chance to, so just bear with me with some of it. Okay, so what I want to do is let you know that the professionals that I'm talking about include analysts, developers, programmers, specialists in areas such as security, infrastructure, network engineering, and even help desk workers. And I think it's important to understand IT professionals because technology influences all aspects of organizations, from communicating to customer service to cybersecurity. Just about all of us at some point rely on IT to implement and secure the systems that support a lot of our work. And in this, technology professionals obviously play a key role, developing the software, supporting the IT infrastructure, managing security. They help keep the businesses up and running and competitive in a fast-changing world. You know, over the years, technology innovation has become an important component in organizations in order to compete in the marketplace. And IT has enabled companies to create things, maintain their environments. So IT professionals, or sometimes geeks as they're called, have to be integrated into the organization and focused on appropriate tasks. So I think in order to make that happen, we kind of need to understand what they're all about. Also, it's becoming, I think, even more important as organizations start to adopt more artificial intelligence in terms of tools and automation. And so much today is starting to be driven by artificial intelligence. And so there were certain characteristics of IT professionals, their patterns, attitudes, beliefs, behaviors that indicate that managing them successfully may differ a little bit from other types of employees. They essentially live and work in an environment that is highly ambiguous. Whenever presented with a problem, there are a lot of different ways to go about solving the problem. IT professionals tend to be introverts, focusing on solving problems, you know, finding problems and looking for solutions. While they do possess a competitive spirit, it's not necessarily in the same way of wanting to move up into a hierarchical structure. So, you know, if you're supervising one of them, it's not likely that you're going to get a response from somebody just because you're the boss. What generally tends to happen is when they're working on a team, rather than having the designated boss be the boss, they generally tend to look for an informal group leader who will internally within the group lead the project. Another thing that's different about them is they often know more about what they're doing than their managers, especially when it comes to really specialized areas like infrastructure, cybersecurity, architecture. And now we're bringing in additionally AI systems. Some of this is because technology moves along pretty fast, and technical staff spend their careers developing hands-on expertise. So when you're trying to develop a system, fix a system, enlarge it, the IT professionals are the ones who actually know how the system works and what needs to be done to get it to work. Whereas their supervisors or managers are frequently responsible for broader aspects of a project, such as the budgeting, staffing, and things like that, communicating with the rest of the organization. And so while some of them may have technical backgrounds themselves, usually, and I know this is to be true, that there, from my own experience, that your role shifts away from the technical more towards oversight and management. I know that when I was working in or a small software development company that we were actually growing, as I moved more and more into the managerial part, I simply couldn't keep up with all the technology that was happening. And I think it even at some point got to a point where you really had to specialize, because as other things started to evolve and become more important, like security, infrastructure, you know, working on the cloud, the internet and stuff like that, you couldn't really be that much of a generalist anymore. You had to start specializing. And I know for myself, I couldn't pick a specialty, so I said, okay, then I'll start going into the management direction so that I don't have to, you know, concern myself with where all of this is headed. And I think it's, you know, as organizations have gotten more complex, you know, with cloud, again, security, AI, it becomes even more important that technology people specialize in things. So what all this means is that, you know, technology leadership doesn't necessarily depend on supervising having all the answers, but it depends more on the manager's ability to trust, coordinate, support skilled technical professionals. And I think also to understand some of this, it's important to understand something about the work. Technology work differs from a lot of the other work because a lot of it is invisible. You know, you can see somebody sitting at a computer, but it's not like, you know, somebody sitting in a bookstore shoving books. You can't really see what they're doing. You can't see the product they're working on. You know, if you go to a manufacturing plant, you can see the things as they're getting built. So, you know, the work is invisible. It's complex. There are lots of different ways that you can go about finding a solution to a problem. And it's constantly changing. You know, the technology itself changes all the time. So where you can see a physical problem directly, a lot of times when you're trying to find a problem, you can't really see where the problem is. You know, like say if I'm trying to debug a program or, you know, find out why a connection to something isn't working, I can't really see physically what it's doing. I have to assume certain things and work from the outside. And also, I think you find, as you probably see a lot of, that things don't always work. A lot of these systems fail. They may fail in small ways. This is, you know, or new things come along, like, you know, new ways to hack into a system. So the software is updating frequently. You know, I know it drives me crazy. Every time I turn around, I'm getting a new update to my phone, or I'm getting an update to my operating system. So the other thing about it that I think is important to know is that the work requires a lot of concentration and focus. You know, for example, if I'm trying to like debug a program, I might have 100 lines of code in my head that I'm trying to follow. And if that gets interrupted, it's all gone. And I have to start all over again. So, you know, as you'll see later on, one of the things that's important is the environment that these kind of people work in. The other thing about it that is important is that while they don't need to know everything, they do need to understand not only the technical thing, but the business itself. I mean, you know, if somebody comes to me with a problem and wants a solution to it, I don't need to understand a lot of the internal workings about what they're talking about. I mean, even a simple thing like wanting to have a screen to input customer data. Okay, I need to know, you know, what kind of data needs to be input, what kind of verification needs to be done on that data. Is there a sequence that they want to input it in? You know, a lot of times the way things are input can even be from a piece of paper, and those things are, you know, forms. They're in certain sequences, and that kind of thing is important to know. So, motivation. You know, we all know we're all different. We're all motivated by different things. In this instance, engineers aren't always motivated by the same factors that motivate their managers or other people. For technical people, opportunities to solve problems, grow technically, communicate to challenging work are definitely more important than the hierarchy or traditional recognition systems. They're much less motivated by status and respond positively to collaboration, trust, expertise. That's my washing machine in the background, if you're wondering what the beeping is. It just shut off. And, you know, they don't really respond well to authority. And, you know, I run into a lot of it in terms of, well, you know, you don't know what you're doing, so don't try and tell me what to do. Sometimes maybe not quite that bluntly, but it does happen. And, you know, in a way it's true. If somebody in any situation doesn't really know what the field is or what some of the solutions may be, when you're in that position where you're an expert on something and somebody else comes along trying to tell you what to do, you know, you don't respond all that well to it. And so, you know, this can lead to a lot of miscommunication. You know, the way that I'm motivated may not be the way somebody else is motivated. So it's important, as I'm sure you all know, to find out what motivates somebody. And, you know, especially, as I said, with technology people, they love challenges. They like to be able to learn and use new skills. So, you know, motivating them by giving them a new project, which is going to allow them to do some of that stuff, is a great way to do that. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, IT professionals tend to be more introverted than the general population. And so for them, it means that they're more interested in the inner world of ideas than they are in the external world of people and things. No, you want to try and use logical arguments. You know, also some things that have been written or, you know, an example of some of these is that one key for them to be productive is to not set impossible goals. You know, whereas some people may find it inspiring. Oh, it's impossible, but I'm going to do it. Technical workers might reject something like that and saying, okay, that doesn't make sense. You know, there's just no way that that can be done. And, you know, this is just not going to work that way. So, what kind of things do we need to do to help them? One of the things is ownership. Ownership is one of the things that's key for motivating. I think it is true for most people, but I think it's even more important in, on the technical side of things. You know, you work harder to achieve your own goals than somebody else's. So if you have ownership of something, it's more likely they'll do it. For example, if you let someone take ownership of their schedules, then you get their buy-in. Even though the schedule may be stretching it, if you can have them feel like they're the one who is having a lot of input into this schedule, you're more likely to get close to that being met. Setting goals is also important. One of the things that they need to have specific objectives. Okay, you can't just say to somebody, oh, go build me a system where I can input customer data. Okay, that's not enough. They need to know specifically what needs to be done. When does this need to be? So the objectives can't be vague. The work itself is ambiguous. So you want to try to make the objectives as concrete as possible. And so, as I mentioned before, one of the things that happens a lot is you're keeping a lot of stuff in your head at the same time. So it's important that you have a workspace that works for you. A quiet and functional workspace is important. You know, it's important to have the environment have good lighting, heating, air conditioning. You want to have enough desk space, quiet and private, to prevent interruptions. And of course, you want to have equipment that works and equipment that's up to date. Another thing that happens a lot too is that it's important, I think, to have flexible work hours and to let technology people set their own work hours, because so much of the work is internal. You want them to feel comfortable during the whole process. You know, if somebody, excuse me one second.
This is interesting to me.
That's going to keep beeping. I have a very small house and everything in it is right on top of everything else. So, you know, as I was saying, it's important to have them be able to set their own hours. You know, they work a lot of overtime too. And, you know, so choosing to be able to work from 8 to 5, 11 to 6, or, you know, to be able to take time off when they need it, is important. I know from my own experiences that, you know, people will work long hours to try and get a problem solved. But then, you know, if I work till midnight one night, I don't want anybody to expect me to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, because I need to get home, I need to rest, just like everybody else does. And it's not been unknown for people to work 24 hours. to because something needs to be done and they're trying to solve a problem. And a lot of times, because of the kind of work that it is, if you leave it, you lose a lot. So you don't want to leave it because, you know, you've got all this stuff that you've got in your head that there's really no way to, you know, it would take hours and hours to put it down someplace. And so you're working on it internally, and you don't want to lose that, so you keep working. And so there were things, you know, that should be demotivators. I thought I changed that like 3 times, but it didn't work. So one of the things to keep in mind is that IT professionals are very sensitive to being manipulated by management. They tend to deal with issues head on, and they want to be dealt with in a straightforward manner. So, you know, setting phony deadlines just isn't going to work. Having, you know, setting, you know, feature creep. It's like, okay, you know, I thought we had resolved this, but now you're telling me and that you want to add this. And I'm thinking internally to myself, okay, did you really want to add this before, but you weren't telling me because you didn't want me to include it and you wanted to set a shorter deadline? You know, and that's the same way that impossible schedules, you know, you can't do it. I've seen, you know, schedules that organizations have tried to set to get something done, and it just doesn't work. I mean, you've got to do the work, and a lot of times there is no way around it. You know, many, many years ago, when coding was done by typing things into cards, I mean, my God, there was just no way that you could speed up the work. And, you know, with anything, you try to speed something up, you're going to come up with more errors. You have more errors, you got to fix them, it's going to take more time. So, you want to focus on realistic goals. You know, and I think I also mentioned earlier, while you can be motivated by a manager who isn't technologically well-versed, the last thing you want is for somebody who isn't technologically well-versed to try and meddle in the technological aspects by what they're doing. I mean, that just sort of simply leads to respect. And as an IT person, I'm not going to be motivated by somebody that I think doesn't know what they're talking about, but likes to pretend that they know what they're talking about.
Cynthia, can I ask a question?
Thank you for your
Do you feel that today what you are sharing here with the AI, there are some changes or things that you think that the perspective is different or is almost the same?
I think a lot of it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
AI is just software. It's nothing more than software and data.
Oh, very nice to look. It's so simple to say it, right? People think that it's destroy our life, right?
no matter how you look at it, if it's in a robot, if it's in a car, if it's in your phone, it's software and data.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, it's these models have to be trained. And, you know, you're not going to get somebody who doesn't know anything about it to be able to really train them well. And they have to be tested. And so it's just like with anything. I think if anything, it's gotten more complicated. Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, a lot of times in the past, one of the things we weren't all that worried about was building integrity and morality into the systems that were developed. Okay, now, you know, there's nothing with AI that's containing that kind of work. So you really have to be conscious of what you're doing and not to let something out there. I mean, there's a book that I'm in the process of reading called, it's about AI. If you build it, everyone dies. And as I get more and more involved in looking at AI and what it does, how it works, I mean, I can see that it's possible because these systems do tend to take on a life of their own. And without building all sorts of, you know, integrity and things like that into them, you know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with A Space Odyssey 2001, where Hal decides, the computer, you know, decides to take off on his own and to shut everything down. And, you know, it's fortunate in that situation that, you know, what's his name, was able to stop him. But, you know, that was one instance out in space. But I think as it becomes more and more prevalent, I think it's, this whole AI thing is pretty scary. It can do a lot of good, but it's very scary, and we really need to be careful about it. You know, even a lot of the stuff we have now that, you know, you do when, I know that when I use Google to do a search, what's the first thing that comes up? AI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to learn. Not always right.
Mm. Thank you.
May I ask a question that is in the chat from Alfonso? Cynthia, are there any, there are two questions, I think. Are there any differences between team managers and IT programmers, or hired company programmers and outsourced?
Differences in what way?
Alfonso?
Sorry, what is the question?
Your question, are there any differences between team managers and IT programmers? Yeah. In what kinds of differences are you speaking about?
I couldn't hear Cynthia's.
I asked, in what way do you think they might be different? When you ask, are there differences?
Well, some team managers of IT professionals are not really specialized in programming.
Yeah.
They come from some other strategic regions of the company. And my experience is that there may be some differences. In the other...
Oh, go ahead.
And the other one is, in my experience, because I have a long time ago, 1992, I was leading, without being a programmer, I was leading a group of IT professionals in building up a knowledge base, knowledge database. And we had people from Russia working as programmers and people that were hired from the company. And my impression is that they handle different values. Those who are hired for a specific project from those who are within the company project and probably align with the mission, vision, etc. of the company.
Okay, my take on that comes from an experience that I had. And I'm going to say that a lot of it is cultural. We were working with a group from the Philippines who was doing some programming for us. And they kept sending us things with errors. And you're like, you know, where are these errors coming from? And what we were finally able to find out about it was that we were the boss and they had questions about the specs we had given them. But they couldn't question us because we were the boss. So there wasn't that kind of open communication between essentially the business side and the programming side, whereas, you know, I rarely come across a programmer in the cultures I've worked in who wouldn't right away turn around and say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't working, I don't understand it. You have to explain what it is you want. So I think sometimes when you're in a situation like that where you've got internal programmers and you're hiring consultants, you're working with not only a culture, you know, like Russia being different from the US, although there was a movie once where somebody said the only difference from between Russians and Americans is that Americans have pressed pants. So I'm not sure, you know, how much that culture is different, but I know that working with Filipinos is very different. Then you also have organizational culture. On top of, you know, your national culture. So I think, you know, that's why you may have some differences in how they operate, you know, but essentially I think IT professionals, you know, are pretty much the same. I don't think you get into that kind of a business unless, you know, you've got a certain type of personality for it. Anything else?
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
I'm not sure because I wonder what is different in coaching when you are facing IT professionals and what is different between different types of IT professionals, internal, external?
I don't think, I haven't found when you're talking about the kind of work they do, when you're talking about personalities, I haven't found that much difference between internal employees and people that you hire as consultants. I mean, we hired a lot of consultants because this was a small software company and we were trying to grow it. So we did have a lot of, and I didn't really find that much difference between, you know, they're still doing the same kind of work. They're still basically working the same way. But like I said, it's the other external things. It's like organizational culture, you know, and their national culture that I think had more of an impact on that. And as for coaching, I'm not a coach. I can't answer that. But maybe after knowing a little bit more about
how
they work.
Thank you for your time and attention.
Oh, sorry. you know, you might be able to apply some of, you know, what we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, leadership practices, you know, how you can develop trust, what kind of challenges, you know, I mean, what do you see? Do you see challenges in terms of trying to coach some of these people?
No, different from other professionals. It is true that they are more introvert, or, I mean, it is true, I don't know. The ones I met, they show this introverse trend more than the average of the rest of my clients. But even so, my coaching didn't change because of their introversy or extroversy. And in terms of belongingness and ownership, I think I can find the same issues in other kinds of professions.
So what, see, I'm not a coach, so I don't really know what
I am. Okay.
So, you know, I don't really know what the real differences are between coaching someone and managing them.
Okay, thank you.
And we have Claudia, who has had her hand up patiently.
Okay.
Claudia?
Hello. Yes. I wanted to comment that particularly with this sector, it has its challenges, because as you were saying, sometimes the IT professionals are so specialized, and there is a great gap in the communication. It's almost like they need like with management, and also like with even the people in marketing or customer service. And then you have the IT people, and I literally think that as coaches, there is so much more need of our skills, so that when you are doing like team coaching, you have all these questions so that everybody can align their visions, the urgencies, the priorities, the changing expectations. So I just wanted to comment that, because I feel it's a very important sector. It has great challenges, and I have an invested interest, because my son he works in this sector. So for years I've been questioning exactly that this great challenge, because of the type of personalities and this great expertise, and at the same time like this wave of technology that is coming like a big tsunami. And so I believe that coaches were going to be needed in this sector. Just wanted to comment that. Thank you so much.
I like your analogy of a tsunami. It really feels that way. I have nothing else. I just thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something.
Well, maybe there's some more questions. Like, I'm wondering why my translator said salami instead of tsunami. I think we need some coaching here.
No, I think you need some reprogramming.
Or my accent.
That's just the kind of thing. Those are the kind of little problems that come up with AI. I send some very strange messages to my friends on my phone when I talk to it, as opposed to typing them in.
Cynthia, you have a lot of good questions here after the thank you. I think some people may want to explore deeper with one of those questions. How can leaders balance autonomy with accountability in IT environments? That's a good question. I don't know any answers. Anyone dealing with that? Or trust? You had said earlier that the IT people want trust and respect, and a lot of that had to do with ownership and autonomy, giving them ownership and autonomy. How have any of you found ways to increase trust between business and IT? I'm looking for hands up. I don't see any. Or questions you have for Cynthia that are others. I'm struck by the significance of the environment to their ability to be who they are and honor their own values. The environment seems to be very important.
I know for myself, when I was working, it was doing the technical stuff. And, you know, when you think about it, when all of this began way, way, way back, most of these people were hidden away in the basements of companies. Where granted, I mean, they weren't disturbed. You know, nobody wanted to go down there. And it's the kind of work that, you know, if you don't want, you don't want interruptions, you want to be able to focus. And if all of a sudden the phone rings, or if all of a sudden somebody knocks on your door, or if all of a sudden a piece of equipment stops working, you know, it's a lot of times, it's not just a couple of minutes. You know, it's if somebody, you know, comes in and interrupts you, they're there for 5 minutes, but it's not just 5 minutes that you've lost. It could be a half an hour that you've lost, and then you need the time to get back to, you know, where you were. So the environment, I think, is really important, especially because it requires so much focus and concentration, and so much of the work is internal.
And sometimes it's not only the environment, is the, for example, their family, that they need to go back home and they still have things to do and they want to concentrate, but they cannot go because, but they have to go, right? So I had a lot of clients that they had an inner conflict that they really want to continue because everything that you explain here, but they have to go because they have, for example, a baby at home.
Right.
And today, this is what is required from people to come home and to be with their family.
I have a question.
Sorry.
Yes, I have a question about partnership. Partnership, Cynthia, for us is a very important word. It shows up 8-9 times in our competencies. Should we, as this is for all of us, should we expect a different level of partnership for those who are the stereotypical example of all of the things you've been sharing with us? Should we expect partnership to be different?
I would think not, with the exception of being straightforward. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you might find, at least I know for myself, less tolerance of, you know, things that really aren't straightforward. You know, if somebody is, like I have a friend who's always going on and talking about different things and never uses nouns. And it's like it drives me crazy because I have no idea. So it's things like that. It's if I think if the partnership's going to work, you really need to establish that kind of level of communication and trust, which you do in any partnership, but I think it needs to be a little bit more straightforward maybe.
And are they less, they're internal, but not necessarily internal awareness of self?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Help me out here, coaches. The depth to which we have conversations, how far do you think you can go if you're coaching someone who is an IT professional? What do you think, coaches here?
We can go. I feel that I trust them and I trust our space, and if it's too much, they will say it's too much. But I'm trying.
I mean, if you're talking, are you talking about internal awareness of feelings and things like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't really think that there's any difference there. I mean, I think, you know, just because their work is internally focused and they're focused a lot internally doesn't mean that, you know, they don't have the same insights into themselves as other people do.
Thank you. That's what I was curious about. Comments? No? Okay. Well, any closing thoughts before I close it? Well, I thank you, Cynthia. And
thank you.
I know I have a page and a half of notes. This was interesting and new to me. So,
well, we can carry on the conversation at the pool.
That sounds good. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And we will be...
Thank you, Cynthia.
We are going to try to get
thank
credits.
Thank you, Cynthia, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to see everyone. Ciao.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.